The Frequency 49 Show is brought to you by the Niner Empire GB.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Welcome to the Frequency 49 Show. Tonight, I'm joined by Michael Wandai and Nathaniel James. Last week on Sunday, the 49ers had a game against the LA Rams in Levi South, or the SoFi Stadium, where the 49ers beat the Rams 30-23. It was a good win. It was a tight win. It was a game of two halves. We had a nail-biting first half, and then later on the game, by the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter, it looked more and more looking like the Niners had it wrapped up. I'll just reel some stats off on the offense, and then I'll open it to the gentlemen, see what they thought. Brock Purdy was pretty good. He had 17 for 25, 206 yards, zero touchdowns, but he was pretty efficient and effective in his decision-making. Christian McCaffrey was once again outstanding, 20 carries for 116 yards with one touchdown. Debo also did a rushing touchdown where he fought to the end zone for, well, he had 38 yards in total off five carries, but his touchdown was, I think, was 7 yards from memory. Brock Purdy did, however, have a rushing touchdown. He had three carries for 5 yards. And then the receiving, Debo had 6 receptions for 63 yards. Juwan Jennings was a factor in this game this week, boys. He had 2 receptions for 51 yards. Brandon Ayuk had 3 receptions for 43 yards, but as we know, he was struggling with a shoulder collarbone sort of area of injury. I'm sure we'll get into that. George Kittle was Mr. Reliable as ever through over the centre in the slot. He was, check down or go-to guy, safe hands for Purdy. He had 3 receptions for 30 yards. And Christian McCaffrey, Mr. Who Can Do It All, he does it all. He had 3 receptions for another 19 yards, again, aiding the offense. So, gentlemen, the game on Sunday, did we enjoy it? Or was you, Bert, like me, started off very worried, a bit unhappy, and by the end of it was relieved? It was a professional display, I would say. Nathaniel, what do you reckon?
Well, for me, I think it was exactly what I thought it was going to be honest. I was excited about it. One of my friends, I put on a status that I was looking forward to it. The divisional matchups are always a bit of a struggle, in my honest opinion. People think that, you know, we're just going to go in and dominate, but you know, I think we need to hold, you know, kind of we held the Rams, you know, despite there being some errors throughout the game, and there were quite a few, kind of in, especially in kind of the first half, from a defensive perspective. But to be honest, my thought is that I really didn't, I mean, I knew exactly how it was good. I could see that it's going to be a close game. In my honest opinion, I felt it was going to be a shootout, because the Rams, you know, let's not forget here that we are now 9 straight, you know, that we've beaten them 9 straight times now, you know, in kind of, and we haven't lost. All right, yeah, we're not going to mention, you know, the fact that we lost the divisionals a couple of years back, but aside from that, we did. It was exactly what I thought it was. Good game, very close game. And the players themselves, you know, they were young, but yeah, in my opinion, knew it was going to be a close one.
Michael,
yeah, I was a bit pissed off in the first half, but not with our players. Also, the defense was really bad. I was pissed with the officiating. Mm-hmm. For example, the Rams targeted Ayuk's shoulder after the first hit was a pretty dirty hit. And after that, they really targeted his shoulder. They threw him so he would fall on his shoulder and such stuff. And the referee didn't do anything. Then there was a situation where Brock threw the ball. He overthrew Debo, but you could clearly see in the camera that a defense lineman of the Rams, I think it was Aaron Donald, just gave him a hit after the ball was thrown, and the referee did nothing. Then was that situation where they overturned Ayuk's catch, which I thought was ridiculous, because every camera perspective they showed clearly didn't show that he lost control over the ball until his knees hit the ground. And as I said, the first half officiating was cruel against the 49ers. But the 49ers endured. They came into the half with a 17-17, and the offense played okay, but they didn't play as good as against the Steelers in the first half. But the second half was a completely different story.
Yeah, it was exactly that. So the first half, for me, from memory, the first half seemed like it was penalty riddled, and there was penalties called and there was penalties not called. And then the second half seemed to calm down, and we seemed to come into the game. Just on the penalties, us and the Rams both had 6 penalties called, as we had 57 yards and theirs was 55. So in the end, the old officiating team seemed to have evened it out. But yeah, there was a few occasions with things not called. I think Kyle took Ayuk out of the game, saving him from himself and the Rams. Listen, we know from watching the Niners for many, many years, teams are, because of how, especially now, how good we are, teams are going to target us. We've said about protecting Purdy, because they'll come for him. And he's doing a pretty good job of protecting himself while being efficient, making smart decisions, knowing when to move. And if he does move, he protects himself. He's not doing anything stupid. The kid is playing like a veteran. From what I've seen, he's playing like a quarterback far beyond his years. All right, yeah, he's not, I wouldn't put him on my fantasy team, but that's not the quarterback that the 49ers need. We don't need to lean on the quarterback so much. You know, with only 206 passing yards, but of those 206 passing yards, he only had 6 incompletions. And I think from memory, one of them wasn't quite a drop, but it was, because he zips the ball in, as Simon previously mentioned on the podcast. Sometimes he catches the receivers a bit offhand, a bit off guard. So, yeah, the penalties and the officiating in the NFL is always going to be questionable. Mm-hmm. The Debo, the thing that springs to mind that went in our favour, and I think the only reason it went in our favour was either because McVay didn't realise he could throw the challenge flag or what, but when Debo fumbled the ball, and I will admit, I think he did fumble the ball, and I was like, get a playoff, and Brock called a timeout. I really thought at that point that was the first rookie naive mistake that I've seen Brock made, and we got away with it. We absolutely got away with that one, because that could have shifted the momentum of the game. Let's be honest, it's those moments in an NFL game that shifts the momentum, and momentum is such a big thing in the NFL, as we've seen with our team many a times, that things, silly penalties have cost us games in the past, silly decisions. But at the minute, we look pretty good, pretty damn good, I might say. The offense carried us in the first half, definitely. Defense didn't show up. It was a game of two halves. And I wouldn't say the offense didn't quite turn up in the second half. They just didn't come out with the same vigour and intensity as they did in the first half, or carried over from the Steelers. But, I mean, it's a hell of an offense. We're not worried. We're not worried about the quarterback. We're not panicking about the quarterback. And that's where the offense starts. If we know the rest of the offense are capable, and they are proving it, week in, week out. Granted, after 2 weeks, but we certainly look good on the offensive side of the ball. The only criticism I would have, like you say, is Purdy. You mentioned it, Michael, overthrowing. He had 3 overthrows. I think one of them was definitely a touchdown. In fact, maybe it's even 2. I think there was Debo, and I think the other one was Jennings, where it was like, oh, no, we overthrew it. But again, we've got to remember that it's this guy's 9th start, I think you said, Nat. I think it's his ninth start. So I think we can forgive him a couple of overthrown balls, and that will come in time with practice and, you know, as he gets better, because he's certainly getting better. Michael, you'll be able to tell me more on this because I know you're far more qualified to talk on it. I absolutely have to give the offensive line credit this week. I thought they were much better at protecting him. I don't recall any Aaron Donald steamrolls. There was pressure, but there's always going to be pressure from players like Aaron Donald and co. So I thought the offensive line was better this week. What do you think, Michael? Were they better this week than they were against the Steelers?
I think they were basically the same, because I heard you last week, and I told this already when I wrote about the episode last week, where I said, yep, there's one thing I don't go with you and Dipak and Simon, and that was that you said the offense line had problems, because when you against TJ Watt, you only give five hurries, and five hurries was the worst we had last week. You only give five hurries against TJ Watt, then you are pretty damn good. And the same this week, he almost didn't have any hurries against Aaron Donald. And the funny thing is, all receivers he overthrew said the same thing. Brock said it was his fault, but all the receivers said it wasn't Brock's fault. It was their fault, because it was a timing issue, because they weren't fast enough where they should have been.
Yeah. And as for you saying about it wasn't his fault, he's the one thing I saw an interview with Deebo Samuel today or yesterday, and he was saying that how accountable the young man is and how that's why he's got the backing of this team. Yeah. He's very accountable, which is refreshing, because how many times do we see these, you know, I think, I don't know whether it was yourself, Michael, or Deepak, or somebody mentioned, you know, these guys when they show up to the stadiums and they're showing an NFL Network and they're wearing six or seven chains and they're walking in like, you know, in like a superstar. And then when things all go badly, they start pointing the finger, shifting the blame. Well, I haven't seen, I know we're winning, but I haven't seen anything like that. You know, Brock could have said, you know, made an excuses on the receivers, but he didn't. He took accountable. So you've got the quarterback taking accountability and the receivers taking accountability, which just proves to me one thing, that this team is all for the team and going in the right direction.
Yeah, and in the offseason, there was one name a lot of faithful wanted to have. The guy landed at the Jets and now has a season-ending injury, if you know who I mean. And that guy is a guy who would have thrown every wide receiver under the bus. Brock doesn't do that. And about that timeout, I thought after that timeout, maybe Brock taking the timeout was the reason McVay didn't throw the flag, because usually when you have something to hide, you hurry up, try to get the next play, and Brock took the time out and therefore slowed the game down. And maybe McVay thought, okay, that if they have time to do that, maybe there wasn't a fumble.
Yeah, true. Very true.
But about the timeouts, there was another funny thing. I didn't know if you saw it, but the Rams already had taken two timeouts before the challenge, and after the challenge, they got a second timeout back. After the challenge, they had two timeouts again.
Yeah. Yeah, Deepak made a comment that McVay was burning through timeouts like his mate Cole. Yeah. Which I thought was quite funny. So, so I think the only other thing I've got left to say is Christian McCaffrey is an unbelievable football player. The guy does everything. We'll talk about it in a few minutes about the preview, but I think we need to be very careful about running that guy into the ground, running him too much. Kyle's got a bit of a reputation for doing that with players. Yes, he's playing phenomenal. He seems like he can do it all, but it only takes one poorly timed challenge or one player to fall on him awkwardly, and that key weapon that we've got could be missing. So I think Kyle has got to do a better job at managing that, but we'll talk about that in the preview in a minute. Nat, have you got any more thoughts on the offense, dude? I realise me and Michael have been waffling along there, mate.
Yeah, you're right. I know we're going to talk about, you know, sort of CMC, but I found the video quite humorous. I don't know if you guys saw it, where CMC was questioned by
the reporter about what you're on about Witherspoon's. Witherspoon said to him.
It's weird, like, to think that Witherspoon was, like, you know, talking lots of trash towards him, and that guy used to play for us, didn't he?
Yeah, I
just found it really, really hilarious that, you know, it was like literally he got questioned, and basically the answer was, you know, he was asking me what was up, you know, how you doing, how things and everything. I just thought it was so funny, the response, and it really did make, you know, some of the other guys chuckle. Kind of going back to just changing the subject a little bit in terms of Purdy, I think that there doesn't seem to be anything that, you know, he is doing everything that, you know, that we need as a quarterback. Yeah, he is overthrowing, you know, he overthrew the ball, but then, to be honest, I just think that it's going to take some time for him to get on the same page as some of the other receivers, because they obviously have only, you know, played with him, you know, I'm all right, training's one thing, isn't it? But actually game day decisions and, you know, being in play with the, you know, with the other receivers is totally different. So I do think there's a, you know, there is a calmness about Purdy. And he, you know, he is really, you know, from a perspective of development, he certainly is showing that. And there's nothing that really does kind of faze him. You know, you kind of heard it during the game, like the commentators were asking, you know, what is it, what would actually shake him? What's going to, you know, what, because they want, obviously, there's always that scrutiny and what, you know, how they would actually look to kind of collapse on him and how he would handle that pressure. But for the moment, you know, he's just taking it game by game.
Well, he threw, if you recall, I don't remember the player's name, but he threw an absolute dart to Kittle when he had a completely unblocked rusher bearing down on him. And I watched that and I was like, I've not seen that from a 49ers quarterback for a long time. I think Alex Smith, I would probably say. Alex Smith was quite brave. But you only have to watch the Las Vegas Raiders to see that our ex-quarterback still, and I'll use a Deepak term here, shit himself under the face of pressure. Whereas Purdy, despite being very young and a rookie, really doesn't. His concentration seems absolutely phenomenal. He is almost robot-like. He goes through his reads, he looks at his receivers, and he trusts it. To be fair, it's probably down to a lot of what Michael was saying. He's got a lot of trust in that offensive line. The offensive line are doing a great job with him, so he's getting the trust with his O-line. He just needs that little bit more time to gain, you know, the connection and the trust with the receivers. I think they must have held him back quite a lot in camp due to the injury, so he's probably missed a fair amount of time running with the ones. So as the season goes on, I expect that to get stronger. But the season is long, and the game was a game of two halves. Should we talk about the defence then, guys? Now, the defence were pretty missing in the first half, but they showed up in the second half. I've got some stats here. We had two interceptions. Both of them were called by Sean Gibson. If you watch the Mic'd Up on the 49ers YouTube channel, you'll see that he's a very quiet professional. But when he does speak, well, things he was saying was true. He said, we're going to get a pick here. We got a pick. And then they skipped forward a bit. And he said, we're going to get another pick here. And sure enough, Oliver come up with the second pick. So we've got Lenoir, whose name I wish, and he had a good game again. But every time he plays, all I can think is, I can't say his name on the pod. Diomedre Lenoir got an interception. Isaiah Oliver got one interception. I thought Oliver had a great game. The main thing that I was worried about with the defence, and this carries on from the Steelers game, we only had Fred Warner, who recorded a sack when he was completely unblocked and burst through that gap to take down Matthew Stafford. because Fred Warner does Fred Warner things, but the lack of pressure from the defensive line in this game was a bit worrying. And for the second week, the Nick Bosa, I know, again, Mark goes back to what Michael was saying, the poor officiating. There has got to have been at least two or three occasions where he was held. He actually got a penalty for the Rams on being held when he was holding them, which was quite funny because I thought that was ironic with Nick Bosa. But he seems to have been very quiet in the opening 2 weeks. He's got a lot of work if he wants to carry on defending that Defensive Player of the Year title that he's got, and he's got a lot of work to do if he's going to break the sack record like I predicted he would. So the defense, guys, what do you reckon? Do you think the offense won us this game or the defense, or was it a combination of complete team play? I'll put that question to you first. Nat, Nathaniel?
I think, the first half wasn't brilliant from a defensive perspective. However, when you watch the second half, it was, you know, they managed to kind of pull it together. And I think certainly, do you know what I mean? Let's be honest here. It wasn't like a... It wasn't a blowout, you know. We didn't win, you know, by loads. We only won by, if you like, 7 points. So it wasn't like it wasn't brilliant, like, but we did win it. And I think there was a combination of, you know, in the end, it being a combination of the team, you know, both the offense and the defense. I think it's quite difficult because, you know, you kind of think about a situation where, you know, that. Both these, you know, we were trying to take Donald out of the game, weren't we, in terms of him not being able to get to Purdy because we wanted to protect him. And he had two guys on him at all times, from what I can remember. They couldn't do it. Same with Nick Bosa. They were going to take him out of the game because we didn't want to, you know, have that situation where they were kind of going to collapse and everything. But... yeah, I think in the end, I think secondary was just like non-existent in the first half, but like the second half, we just seemed to be a lot more calmer. Things started to work, and it was a totally different second half. So I would probably say, from my perspective, it was kind of a combination of both the offense and the defense, you know, particularly in this more in the sort of second half, if you like.
Yeah, the halftime adjustments, which I think has been one of our strengths as a team for a number of years, and that's due to the strength of the coaching staff. Johnny Holland with the linebackers, Chris Korek with the defensive line. I'm not sure who the secondary coach is off the top of my head. I probably should have looked that up before. That's my fault. But the halftime adjustments certainly worked because the two interceptions prove that. I think certainly... I think the first one was a tipped pass, was it not? And then the second one, Lenore, or the first or second, I've got them in the wrong order possibly, Lenore completely ball-hawked it and picked it out of the air. So there was definitely adjustments in the coverage and zone. Michael, defence, what do you reckon in that last game?
Yeah, I think the difference is the offence line still has their offensive coordinator in Kyle. And there's no change at all. So the offense does play what they know for years. The problem is Steve Wilks has a complete different scheme than Saleh and Dimico had. And I think that's a problem. I think that the defense needs to get in line with Wilks' defense. And at the moment, they're not there yet. I know some say Chris Kaczurek's defense line style is the same than before, but in the overall defense scheme, it changed to the years before. And to Nick Bosa, you please don't forget that guy didn't have a preseason. He didn't have training camp. He didn't have a preseason. Some say it's his own fault because he wanted to get paid, but the first three or four games will be his preseason, and it will be a while before we see him at all strengths. The same we saw with Debo last year, who also held out almost the whole training camp, and how long he took to be in game shape.
Yeah, it's a good point. So what we're saying is Nick Bosa is going to get 10 sacks in the playoffs. I completely agree. No, yeah, you're spot on. It's such a major part of the game. His training camp, preseason. It really is important. That's why, you know, the season theoretically starts in, what is it? Is it June? I mean, rookie mini camps and all that. And then obviously, so yeah, it's more than any other sport in the world. I would say the training side and the training camps and stuff is the most important, more than any other sport. So yeah, so ultimately, yeah, we won the game, guys. So it's you know, it is hard to criticise. Like I said, the defence was poor in the first half, but they came good in the second half and helped us seal the win. And Nathaniel, you're right, it was a close run game. We only won by 7 points, which will bring us on, actually. We'll segue very nicely to the group questions. Andy Mitchell says, what was with the field goal as time expired? At least try to win the game by throwing a Hail Mary with enough time left for an onside kick. Or did it turn out to be a good bet to only lose 7 points? So I think he's hinting there at a little bit. And I've seen some interesting conspiracy theories about the way the betting works with the NFL about covering the point spread. Did the Rams decide to just throw a spanner in with the points spread for people to ruin their bets? Or was it a case of McVay had told all of his family to stick a load of money on? What was that all about? I mean, we're not talking about the Niners here. We're talking about the Rams' decision. But it was a strange one, wasn't it?
If I remember correctly, the Rams were down by 10. And even a Hail Mary wouldn't have won them the game. So why try it? And that's why I think they did the field goal. The field goal, they got points on the board, but they knew they couldn't win the game anymore, and the field goal is a safer option. Why would you hurt players? The risk is there. Why would you hurt players if you don't count the win the game anymore?
Yeah. Well, I think that was a criticism of Kyle versus the Steelers. The Steelers game was won, but yet every start was out there still. But then that goes back to what you were saying, Michael, about, you know, for some players pre-season, and you cannot beat reps in a real NFL game. So I don't think I'll criticise him for that. But yeah, I think you were right. I just thought I'd throw that in there because I read that from Andy, and I was like, yeah, a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. So here's one for, I'll ask this to Nathaniel because I know he probably shares a similar opinion to me, and I think he may have mentioned it. This is from Steve Cushion. This is not a criticism. From a self-evaluation point, which area do you think the Niners could / need to improve? And he's put, last week, the right side of the O-line was leaky against the Steelers, but they were better against the Rams. Well, I think, Steve, we've said that ultimately we're picking... I'll answer this bit and I'll ask Nathaniel the second part. But I think ultimately, Steve, I think we are nitpicking with the O-line because I do think, and Michael has rightly pointed out, they have been very good. I think it's just we're so good of a team that, and we've been through tough years, that when something is slightly lacking in the team, it does highlight more because the rest of the team in all phases of the ball is so good. But the second half of this question, I would personally like to see Christian McCaffrey get less snaps, shall we say, when Kyle is trying to run down the clock, just from an injury precaution point of view. So I think, Nathaniel, I'll let you answer that. Do you think, considering it's a short week this week, we play the Giants, New York Giants, tomorrow evening in the UK. It's 1:15 Friday morning, sorry. So do you think going forward or even this week that, you know, as well as Christian McCaffrey's been playing, do you think we should see a bit more of Elijah Mitchell, Mason running the ball?
I think you need to see a bit more from Elijah Mitchell, in my opinion, because I think everybody would be, you know, I'm not, don't want to jinx it, but do you know what I mean? We really have got two good running backs, haven't we? Elijah Mitchell, yeah, all right, he's had some injury concerns previously, but he's fit, isn't he? So why not get him involved in the game? Kyle, Shani, he actually picked out that he was, you know, wanting to kind of, he really, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's kind of like, as a coach, you got to think, well, all right, hold on a minute, I need to be critical of what you know, went well and what went wrong. And I think he's able to identify that, you know, really he needs to get other players involved in this game. And, Elijah Mitchell, why not? Why shouldn't we be kind of getting him, you know, getting him some more snaps and actually getting him in? He's quite capable, isn't he? He's a good running back. But
Very capable. Remember before we had Christian McCaffrey, when Elijah Mitchell, before we had McCaffrey, Mozart left. Let's go way back. We had Breida, he left. And then we had Mozart, who was, you know, brilliant. Raheem was great and he's doing well for the Dolphins. And I'm very happy for him. But when he left, then Elijah Mitchell picked up. And it seemed to be that, you know, at one point, Kyle had these guys that he plug and play in, and whoever was at running back was performing very well. But that's taken away from the point that before we had McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell was a very productive running back. So why not share the workload, especially when we're trying to run the clock down? If we've got a lead and we need to take a couple of minutes off the clock, there is no need to continue running Christian McCaffrey straight out of the middle. Yes, it's going to up his yardage, put him higher in the stats chart. This team's about the team. We're not about one or two superstars. We're not a team that's got one or two superstars. We've got really good players. Some of the best players in their position across the entire, across the entire team. I agree. I mean, Michael, do you agree? Do you think we should share the workload a bit more, especially against the Giants, surely?
Yes, definitely. Should just remember why McCaffrey was so happy to leave Carolina and come to the 49ers. Because one reason was at Carolina, he was the offense, and that was the reason he was injured that often. And now Kyle does exactly what they did in Carolina with him. He gives him the brunt of the workload. Why not use the other running backs? Why not use Debo more in the run game? At the moment, it's Christian, and you use Debo and Ayuk in the passing game, but why not put a little pressure from Christian and let the other guys who can run?
Yeah, it's a spot on point, that is, Michael. The reason, I wouldn't say the reason he left the Panthers, but the reason things didn't end so well with him at Carolina was because he was literally their go-to every play of the game. He handed it off and he got run into the ground. And I think, you know, we have seen with Kyle, he has done this to players before, be it a quarterback, power running up the middle or, you know, thing. But I don't think we should be... I know it did work to our advantage. It did work. And I know Debo has got the skills to do it. But when I see Debo, anything other than, you know, when I see him handed off the ball, it does make me worry because, you know, he's a key player. He's a key receiver. I think they should share the workload, which will segue us on to...
Said the one thing he let QBs run a power run through the middle. Sorry, but that wasn't the case. He gave Trey an RPO, and the RPO, the quarterback decides what he does with the ball.
Fair point.
Yeah, and Trey decided to run. Trey got injured on it. And yes, okay, maybe if he wouldn't have got the RPO, Trey wouldn't have run. But in the end, on an RPO, the decision who runs is on the quarterback, not on the coach. The coach just gives you the option. The coach says, you can let Christian run, or in that case, it was Elijah. You can let Elijah run, you can run yourself, or you can pass. And then it's on the quarterback, not on the coach, what the quarterback does with it.
No, that fair play, Michael. You are 100% correct. Yeah, you're right. And that being said, we've actually seen him give Purdy that option, and Purdy has made the right decision. And I think he's entered the end zone not unmarked. He's walked into the end zone a couple of times this season already, hasn't he? Or maybe at least once. I think it was against the Steelers. It might have been last week. you know, we've seen that exact play, and Purdy chose the right option and walked in. So, yep, you are right. You've told me there, Michael. That's why I'm not sat here talking to myself, guys. That's why I need you guys to get involved. That segues, while we're talking about running back, that segues us on to the preview. And the Frequency 49 show so far this season has been well known, or should be well known, for its breaking news. So I've got some breaking news, gents. This week's game against the Giants, I've just had a notification to say the Giants have ruled out Saquon Barkley against the 49ers. So their main running back, one of their main threats, is out against us. So that's good news. This week we play the Giants. It's the Thursday night football game, which will be 1:15 in the morning, Friday morning in the UK. The Giants are coming to Levi's off the back of a 20-point comeback win against the Cardinals. Take from that what you will. It looks like our old friend Matt Breida is going to carry the ball for the Giants because Barkley will be out for this game. That was a good prediction there by me, wasn't it? And the Giants haven't recorded a sack this season. So all in all, boys, looking ahead to the game against the Giants, I'm going to say we should comfortably win this. We're at home as well. It's our first actual home game, even though last week against the Rams felt like a home game because I think it was 72% Niner fans. It was an absolute sea of red last week, and it'll obviously be the same this week at Levi's, actual Levi's, not Levi's South. I know we have two home stadiums now. But yeah, this week, Thursday night football against the Giants. Surely this is going to be another win, isn't it? Nat, what do you reckon? Do you reckon we're going to beat the Giants comfortably? Give me a prediction if you want, or what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think I think this is going to be quite, I mean, we're at home, aren't we? I'm still not overly convinced with Daniel Jones. Yeah, he scored two touchdowns, but he had one interception against the Cardinals. So I didn't watch the game. I just heard it as it was kind of going along, really. And they managed to kind of bring it back. Missing, you know, Barkley is a massive thing for them because obviously they rely quite heavily on him. They had, you know, he had 17 carries for 63 yards in the last game and he scored a touchdown. So obviously Breed is going to be one of, you know, they're going to be reliant on him kind of going forwards. But I'm not really anticipating. I mean, I think let's be honest, the Giants have improved and they did quite well last season. They actually made it to the playoffs, didn't they? Which was the first time in I can't remember how many years since they made it. So the momentum of, you know, kind of winning that game against the Cardinals, who, to be honest, weren't much of a walkover as much as people anticipated that they would be, was quite an interesting one. So, you know, they did put up a real good fight, and when we face them, I suppose we're going to, you know, it could be very sort of similar, quite, you know, they're going to come, you know, they're going to play quite strong. But all in all, yeah, I think we are going to win. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be quite a, I'd probably say there's going to be probably 10 points in it, and we're probably going to win it. So I can't really think as to how many points. I'll say 31-21 is my kind of score prediction.
Yeah, 10 point. Yeah, 10 point win for Nathaniel. Michael, how many points are we winning by this week, mate?
You said Barkley isn't playing, but that's one thing. They are good tackle. Andrew Thomas isn't playing as well.
Oh, okay.
That would make it easier for our D-line. And the thing is, we all know against any other team than the Cardinals, they wouldn't have had this comeback.
I agree, yeah.
They are, if you just look at the score, they are 35-60 this season. So, comes an offense that is pretty much as good as the Dallas offense, and a defense that is pretty much as good as the Dallas defense. So I say we will have at least 35 to maybe 7
okay
in this week.
Okay. Well, first of all, please don't ever compare us to Dallas again, Michael. You know that. You know if Deepak was here, he'd tell you off for that. No, seriously.
I just compared the paper, not the peas.
Yeah, I know. And also, you said their name. You know that's like Voldemort and Harry Potter. We don't do that. No, I'm joking. I'll be honest, I'm going to throw up a big one here. I mentioned last week and called for a 50 burger. I think it could be possible. I think we could absolutely blow them out of the water. The one thing I will say going into this game, we don't currently know, and I've just looked, whether BA, Brandon Ayuk, will play. But I think if there is that niggling injury, I don't think there's a real need to play Ayuk in this game unless we have a disaster and we really need to get, you know, claw back a 10-point, 20-point deficit, which I can't see happening. So personally, if it was me, and I'm sure they know much more than me, I would possibly consider resting Ayuk, put Debo, Jennings out there. I'd like to see a little bit of Ronnie Bell as well, because I really like that guy from pre-season. And last week, if you've seen the video clip, where he absolutely pancaked Akilah Witherspoon's, got up, Akilah Witherspoon got in his face, and Ronnie Bell just walked calmly off to the side. So, yeah, let's see a little bit of Ronnie Bell this week, if we can. And I'd like to see Mitchell carry it a bit as well. You know, I'm not saying let's rest the starters, because it's an NFL game week. You can't really rest the starters until we get near the end of the season, possibly. But I'm going to say this is going to be a big... I'm going to say we could win this by at least 30 points, to be honest. I hope this doesn't come back and bite me, because quite often when I've been on here and I've been overly confident, this has ended up being a trap game for us, and I've looked like I don't know what I'm talking about, which is quite a possibility. So yeah, I'm going to go with at least a 30-point win. If you're asking for a score, I'm going to say we beat them 40-10, maybe more. I'd like to, hopefully. Unfortunately, I won't be able to watch it live with the time of the game, and I'm absolutely crazy busy at work, but never mind. So I think that wraps up things. Any of you guys got anything else you want to mention before we attend to some business? No? Go on, Michael. Sorry, apologies.
One thing, just 2 game days from Thursday, we will meet Team Voldemort, as you called it. And I want to be at least 4-0 till we meet them. Yeah. But our own Paul Marsh had a good question. Should we go all in with our cap? And I would say no, because as you said before, we're looking okay. The only thing we should have get better players is the backup players. The starting players are really good.
I think John Lynch has actually come out and said that the reason we've got the most cap space in the NFL, which is 42 million, is to carry it through to next year. And I think the reasoning for that is because he realises that a couple of key players who will be playing this season and so far have performed. One of them is Brandon Ayuk. If we can get him tied down to a contract, then I think we have all of our key pieces in place. Yes, that does mean that we'll yet again be worrying about the backups, as we are this season. But, you know, the number ones are the best in the league. Yeah. One of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. So I don't see us making any big moves. And we're 2-0, boys. And I personally think, I think we'll be 3-0. And we'll talk about the Voldemort team. I like that, Michael. We'll call them Voldemort team. So, yeah, we'll talk about them in due course. I just want to say... Oh, go on, Michael. Go on.
I have one question about the offensive line. Who do you two think is, over the last 2 games, our best offensive line player?
Oh, I don't think it matters who I say, Michael. I think you're going to tell me the answer. I'll always say Trent Williams, honest.
And Nate, who do you think?
I was probably going to take a guess at probably Williams, but, you know, I'm sure you're going to probably sort of say no. It's somebody else.
It's Aaron Banks.
Yeah.
He played 125 snaps, 0 penalties, 0 QB hits, 0 pressure, and 0 sacks allowed.
Good.
Fair play. Thank you, Michael. Aaron Banks, there we go. I like that. Michael's our resident offensive lineman and expert on the offensive line. So that's brilliant.
I have to say, I cheated. We just
don't admit that.
We just posted a picture with that in the Naya Empire Germany, but I could do a little quiz about it.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, boys, that's been great. Just quickly, a note to everybody: everyone, keep an eye out. The Pick Six results are coming; will come through. Don't forget to get your Pick Sixes in when it's posted up by Mark, because he does a fantastic job. It's a lot of work and effort to organise that competition, and I'm sure we all enjoy it. Every week I watch the games, and I always remind myself of who I've picked, so I thoroughly enjoy it, and I always appreciate Mark's efforts. So the results are coming out, guys. Just be patient, bear with it, and get your picks in when he posts up. I just want to have a quick note, because I know Deepak would do it if he was on the show, and say thank you to everyone who's donated for the GoFundMe page, which keeps us on air. We love doing this. We enjoy doing it. And I'll say, like I say every week, if you want to come on the show or help us contribute in any way, you know, questions, be it whatever you want us to mention, this is your show as much as it is us guys sitting here and doing it. So please get in touch and get involved. And I think that's it, Chancellor. I think it's good night. Goodbye from me. Goodbye from Michael, and goodbye from Nat. You want to say bye-bye, boys?
Bye, everyone. Enjoy the Giants game if you're up to staying up for it. Or, you know, or if you're in stateside and you're watching it, enjoy either way.
Yeah, good night, and tschüss in German.